So we're going to begin in Acts 1. I'm going to review a little bit. Let's look at verse 3. It says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse 4, he said, being assembled together with them, that's in a resurrected state, by the way. Very, very important. They should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which you've heard of me. And in verse 8, he says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be my witnesses. Now, where we always major is verse 8. You're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And that is an awesome thing, because without the Holy Ghost, we're not going to get anything done. Amen. But there were two other foundational dynamics. There's two more foundations that we have to see that completes that government. And he addresses those foundations right there in verse 3. He says, being seen of them, showed himself for 40 days, being seen of them by many infallible proofs. He was establishing among his apostles in the early church. In fact, the entire early church was birthed out of the corporate eyewitness. Every single one of those in the 120 saw him. Peter said it in chapter 2. He stood up and said, we are all eyewitnesses of his majesty. Throughout the book of Acts, they were bearing witness of the resurrection. And you can add eyewitness. That was the power of their witness, is that they were giving witness of the resurrection. And they weren't giving secondhand or thirdhand witness. They were giving firsthand eyewitness. He established that eyewitness, and he established his word. He gave them the eyewitness. He gave them his word. And he said, wait for the Holy Ghost. And not just the eyewitness, but he established by many, say many, infallible proofs. Now go to Luke 24, verse 38. We're in review here. Now, is it necessary to have the eyewitness to witness for the Lord? Absolutely not. You can witness for the Lord. We're all witnesses of the Lord. But under an apostolic government, one of the key foundational principles in the blueprint of the way God does things is he establishes, he sends under that apostolic umbrella the eyewitness testimony. That's one of the missing elements in the body of Christ. When that gets restored, how do we know it's going to get restored? Because you fast forward into the book of Revelation, we see the Lord standing on Mount Zion with 144,000 eyewitnesses that he releases into the final 3.5 years. We got into that very heavily. He releases them. So we know he begins the church with the eyewitness and he ends with the eyewitness, and we're right in the middle of it. Amen. Because the bride's going to have her say, her testimony, and her witness before we get taken up out of here. Amen? That's one of the final things. When you see that happening, when you see that restored, when you see the eyewitness testimony restored under an apostolic government, you know that the days are few. It will be the final witness that God will give to the world, and it will be eyewitness. It'll be under an apostolic umbrella. It's not just the apostles that were bearing the eyewitness. Everybody around them were giving. It said he showed himself alive to 500 brethren at one time. Say 500. In a meeting, 500 at one time. And this was before his ascension. During that 40-day period, he showed himself to over 500. Peter was very bold and said, we've all seen him, speaking of those in the upper room, all of us. This is our testimony. With great power gave he the apostles witness of the resurrection. That was the message to the world. He's not dead. He is alive. We have seen him. Luke 24, verse 38, and he said unto them, in fact, Acts chapter 1 was taken out of the account of Luke 24. Because Luke wrote both of the books. And so Luke was rehearsing in Acts chapter 1, the first half, right here, Luke 24, when he was saying this. I want you to notice this, verse 38. He said to them, why are you troubled? He's standing in front of them. And this is after he died, was buried, resurrected. Verse 39, he says, behold, my hands and my feet. Handle me and see. Look at that. Handle me and see, for spirit hath not flesh and bones like you see me have. What was he saying to them? They had thought they had seen a ghost or a vision. He says, no, 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 no. You're not looking at a vision. Handle me. Touch me. Touch me. It's necessary you understand that I've been raised from the dead and you will be my witnesses of this resurrection. Touch me. Touch me. Spirit doesn't have flesh and bones like I have. You're looking at me in a resurrected state with a resurrected body. Then what does he say right after that? Do you have anything to eat? I'm sure the Lord just didn't show up to eat with them. But he did show up to eat with them. It wasn't like he's just hungry and I got to go eat with them. He ate in front of them to show them, I am not a spirit. You're not looking at a vision. We're going to eat together. There was the many infallible proofs. Touch me. Let's eat together. And he did this four or five different times with them. Peter had an encounter by himself with him, but all the apostles together had four or five encounters with the Lord in an eyewitness state. Not only the apostles, but everybody around them saw the Lord. He was establishing the testimony of his resurrection in a first-hand manner. You got to get that, because that's the power. Behold, you'll receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, so you'll be my witnesses. And when he said that to them, he was standing in front of them in a resurrected state. You're going to be eyewitnesses of what you see today. And the Holy Ghost is going to stand next to that, is one of the secrets to their power. Because every one of us have the Holy Ghost. We're still lacking a part of that power. And the issue is when he started, he began with the eyewitness, and then watch what happens. Verse 44, and then he eats with them, right? Touch me, he eats with them. Verse 44, then said he unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Notice what he quotes. Law of Moses, prophets, Psalms. Do you know if you go to the first three chapters of Acts and look at the first two sermons of Peter, he speaks out of the prophets, he speaks out of the Psalms, and he speaks out of the book of Moses. The Lord himself gave Peter those messages in a resurrected state. How would you like the Lord to show up and just open the books to you? The messages he preached were spontaneous. God, the Lord Jesus, in a resurrected state, opened those books to him and said, this is me, this is me, this is me. He goes, now, you've seen me, here's my word, wait for the Holy Ghost. When all three of these come together, there's going to be some kind of power, because he also is going to bear witness. You're going to bear witness of what you've seen today. You're going to bear the witness of my word, and the Holy Ghost is going to stand next to your eyewitness. Oh, I'm telling you, it's going to get restored. I don't care if you believe it or not, it's still going to get restored. According to Paul, every single apostle of the New Testament saw him. After all, he was seen of all the apostles. Apostle Paul said it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He said, am I not an apostle in 1 Corinthians chapter 9? Have I not seen the Lord? Have I not seen him? That was the whole thing about the Apostle Paul, was God called him outside the original 12. Really, it's 11 until Matthias come along. But he gave the Apostle Paul everything that he gave them. Granted him the eyewitness four different times. He showed himself to him. Gave him the word of the resurrection, the word of the right hand of God. Gave him the eyewitness, gave him the Holy Ghost, and a demonstration that accompanied that apostolic witness. When Matthias was being chosen in Acts chapter 1, he said, look out among these men that have been with us. It wasn't just the 11 that walked with the Lord. 70 walked with him too. They pulled two out of those 70. I said, choose you two out of these men that have been with us since the baptism of John all the way to the day he was, what? Taken up. One must be ordained to bear witness and take part of this ministry and bear witness of his resurrection. The qualification of Matthias is he had to have seen the Lord to be a part of that apostolic government. We throw around that word very loosely, but there is going to be the full restoration. My thing is, Lord, if you gave it to them, then you're going to have to give it to us. If we are legitimately called to be apostles, the legitimate apostolic office is going to be legitimately restored doctrinally, then the eyewitness has to be restored too. Why isn't he not going to give us what he gave them? We're going to bear witness of the resurrection 2,000 years later and ask the whole world to believe our witness without all that they had? You see that? So he opened the books to them. He said, wait for the promise. The Holy Ghost. Well, isn't it better to believe without seeing? It has nothing to do with your relationship with God. I don't have to see to climb up in the right hand of God. I'm already seated with him. I don't have to see to be in Christ, to dwell in him, to abide in him, to be found in him, to dwell in the Spirit. I don't have to see to do that. I can believe that. This is not about seeing him for me and him. It's about seeing him for our testimony to the lost world. Because that is our testimony. That is the only thing we're called to preach to the lost. They're not going to be able to break down the revelations of the Old and the New Testament to the lost world. They don't have ears to hear. But they've got to get saved. They've got to be translated out of darkness into his marvelous light. So the message we take to the world is the message of the resurrection. He's not dead. He buried your sin, but he rose. And we are witnesses. I can't wait for that day that we are eyewitnesses. And so we don't believe you. That's fine. I have somebody else here. He's going to also bear testimony. Like the Lord said, the Holy Ghost, he shall testify. And you also shall bear witness. Holy Ghost stand there. He said, yep, I can confirm. I can confirm that they have seen him. I can confirm that what they say is true. I can confirm that there is a resurrection. But they are eyewitnesses. And he'll manifest with miracles, signs, wonders, demonstration. Why? He's the convincer. You are the one that bears witness. He's the one that bears the power. There is a shift, my friend. Who's the Holy Ghost with all the accompanying offices? Absolutely. Will he go with you? Without an eyewitness? Absolutely. But under an apostolic government, there will be power that's very rarely seen in the churches today. The kind of power that'll leave people like this is called the gospel of astonishment. Man cannot do the gospel of astonishment. We can do the gospel of presentation, the gospel of personality. We can even do the gospel of marketing, but the gospel of demonstration and the gospel, they were astonished beyond astonishment. When's the last time you've been astonished beyond astonishment? Only the Holy Ghost can do that. When all these come together again, you will see the gospel of astonishment again. The world will see it. The unimpressed world is going to get very impressed very soon. I have news for you. The world is not impressed with a church. The Holy Ghost is going to impress them, not our personality. We need something established, fulfilled, and completed. It's called a blueprint. When the blueprint gets right, it'll work. When all the components come together. Well, see, here's the issue. We're in restoration mode. When they started, what's the first thing the Lord gave them? First thing he did is appears to them six different times. Then he breaks his word. So he gives them the eyewitness. He gives them the word of the resurrection. We trace the whole book of Acts. How many times they preached about the resurrection. How many times they preached about the right hand of God. That was their message. So they had the word. And he said, wait for the promise of the Holy Ghost. Now, we're in reverse now, right? Since the days of Martin Luther, when God woke the church up again, justification of faith, started the restoration of all the offices. They never left heaven. It's the earth that was bankrupt of them. But God started restoring all the offices, the pastoral, the evangelist. And then at the turn of the century, the baptism of the Holy Spirit come back up in the earth through Azusa Street. And then the office of a teacher. And all the gifts of the Spirit and all that. And then the prophetic office from the 80s on. And now the apostolic office is coming into full restoration. With that apostolic office, what's left is going to get restored. Because before the Lord takes us, his bride, out and fulfills his final week for the Jews, which he's going to give them the eyewitness to, he's going to give his bride the eyewitness. That's how we're going to go out. It's going to be full-blown apostolic government. He's going to restore his word, especially the word of the resurrection, the word of the right hand of God. He's going to restore that government. So we have the Holy Ghost. He's been given us the word of the right hand of God. I would imagine over the last 3.5 years, hadn't preached anything else. What we're waiting on is that final aspect of that blueprint, the eyewitness. Not just going to be a singular person. You know, very rarely did the Lord ever appear anybody singularly. In the early church, there was always people around because it was the witness. First ones that saw him were the five ladies. 500 brethren at one time saw him. The apostles saw him. The whole 120 saw him. He birthed up out of that eyewitness. You see that? He's going to do that again. It's part of the way the apostolic operates. Because the message of the apostolic is the message of the resurrection. It's the message that Christ ascended into the right hand of God. He administrates his kingdom from the right hand of God. We bear witness that he's alive and well and there. And he's still alive. We bear witness of a king priest government. He ascended on high and received the government of the Father. Apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. He received that government. He ascended on high as the king. He received. I'll set my king on the holy hill of Zion. Ask of me, son. The nations is thine inheritance. He received the wealth of the nations. It all belongs to him. He's the final, last Adam, and God gave it all back to him. And he shares it with us as joint heirs. Is that awesome or what? Hallelujah. Now, I want to look at the Lord's ministry himself. I want to look at the pattern that he came on the earth with. Now, our message was to bear witness of his resurrection. His message was the same. He was an eyewitness of the Father. Because the Jew said, I know the Father. We know the Father. We don't know about you, but we do know the Father. He says, I have been sent from him, and I have seen him. You haven't, but I have, and I bear witness that he's with me. So let's see if all three of these components, doctrine, eyewitness, and Holy Ghost, was with the Lord's ministry. Amen? His message is a little different. He goes, I am the way, the truth, and the life, but I've come to bear witness to the Father because I've seen him. All right, go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. And John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Thou comest to me. And Jesus said unto him, Matthew 3 and 15, suffer it now to be so, for thus to becometh to fulfill all righteousness. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened to him. And I saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And a voice from heaven saying, now notice what the Father publicly, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. God publicly with an audible voice with all those people around publicly ordains Christ with an audible voice and everybody heard it. When he was buried in that Jordan, he wasn't just getting baptism. You have to understand he was coming to introduce a new covenant, a new inheritance, a new way. And he had to bury the old. He goes, look, I am the last Adam and I'm carrying both the old and the new. I've come to bury the old and take on the new. And I'm coming to introduce a new covenant. You're going to have to press into it. But before that covenant comes, I'm going to have to die and pay the price for you to come over. But because the cross hasn't come yet, I'm going to the cross now. The Jordan River was the cross for the Lord. You have to understand, before he went to the cross, he went to that place. And when he was buried in that water, he was buried in baptism. When he come up, that was the resurrection. From that point on, God said, this is my brand new heir. This is my heir. This is my spokesperson. This is my son. Hear him. He speaks it audibly, and the Holy Ghost descends upon him. And now he has the authority to introduce the new covenant, because as far as God was concerned, there was no turning back. He died that day on the cross. Yes, he went to the cross, but he had to do it that day. He said, when you do this, there is no turning back. Because now you're going to introduce, you have the legal authority and the legal right to release the new covenant into the earth. Somebody say amen. And the Holy Ghost says, that's right, and here I am. And he descends upon him like a dove. Now the Holy Ghost is on him. Boy, the Holy Ghost, from that point, he went in the wilderness 40 days after that. He returned from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. It was on. Demonstration after demonstration. First thing he did, he went in the temple and cast the devil out of the person in Capernaum. He went in the temple and cast the devil out, and they were astonished. Then he went to Peter's house on the shore there and had a revival. They came out, the whole city came out. Signs, miracles, wonders, demonstration. It got so heavy that his apostles had to become ushers. And they were doing crowd control, constantly pressing upon him, pressing through the crowds, pressing him on, tearing at him all the time. And one time he ran into the house. This is how the Lord built his ministry. The Lord, he runs in the house. He says, tell no man I am here. He was running from the multitudes. They were everywhere, pressing on him. Because he had their answer, because the Holy Ghost was with him without measure. Because he was bearing witness to what he was saying. He was sent from the Father. Acts 10, you got to look at this. Christ was sent. We got a lot of people that just got up and went. But when you're sent, God will give you everything you need to be sent with. God's going to send his apostles again. And when he does, they're going to have the full testimony. Armed with the word of God, armed with the eyewitness, and the Holy Ghost is going to stand next to you. Listen, when the Holy Ghost stands next to your witness like that, you pray it happens. You pray it happens again in a first world nation. I know you can go down a third world nation, but in a first world nation, Oprah will put you up on her television show. And somebody will come out there and they'll lay them up on a bed and couch. When the Holy Ghost stands with you, you have no fear. That person will get up right there in front of the world. That's the kind of witness. It's going to have to be restored. I know some of you might not like that, but that is the way it's going to be. The problem is that we are getting too much. I'm looking for a nicer word. Conditioned by the present state of the church can condition you to say, this is the way God does it. If you want to build, make it nice. Make it easy. Don't be a conscience. The multitudes will come. We get conditioned in the present blueprints. Just because the present blueprint's there doesn't mean it's fitting the full blueprint of God. And that's why the world is still unimpressed, because the world can still come to our church and be the same. But when that kind of glory shows up and that kind of power is restored, they're not going to be the same. Cities are going to get transformed. These men have turned the world upside down, have come to our city also. It's time for the church to turn the world upside down again. Acts 10, verse 37. And the word I say, you know, which was published throughout Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God the Father anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So here we see Holy Ghost was upon him too. Just like it was on the apostles. He was on the Lord's ministry. Publicly, he came down, the Father publicly recognized him as his only heir. At the Jordan, the Holy Ghost come down and anointed him with power and authority. All right, let's look at his doctrine. Go to John chapter 7, verse 14. Now about in the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the tabernacle and taught. The Jews marveled and saying, how knowest this man letters, having never learned? See that? Verse 16, Jesus answered him and said, my doctrine is not mine, but him that sent me. See that? Even the Lord said, this is not my doctrine. I'm not coming to speak of myself. I'm coming to speak of him that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself or not. Drop down to verse 28. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, you both know me, and you know from whence I am. I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true. But I know him, for I am from him. He sent me. I'm bearing witness to you that my doctrine is not mine. It's from him. Look at John chapter 8, verse 26. Actually, John's full of this. I'm just giving you a couple of examples here. I have many things to say and to judge, verse 26. But he that sent me is true. Here it is again. I speak to the world those things, look at this, which I've heard from him. You see that? I speak what I've heard from him. The Lord's doctrine didn't even originate. It came out of the Father. I speak what I've heard from the Father. Verse 27, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Not everybody's going to hear you. Not everybody heard him. Some people are so veiled they can't hear anything, even if truth smacks them upside the head. And sometimes they can't hear because they don't have ears to hear. You know why? They have a preset conception of what they've been taught already. And when someone's already been ingrained in something, you can bring a new level of truth to them and they can't hear it because it's not the way that I was taught. Even though the word is right there and you can't even confute it, they'll say, I've been taught this way and this is the way I'm going to believe it. And that's what's going to keep you bound in where you're at. You may not be bound, but you just might be ceilinged. Can't go any higher because what you learned took you to the highest ceiling of where you learned it from. What we want is the ceiling taking off. And if the ceiling's taken off, I'd love to go find somebody that has the ceiling taken off of them. But if I can't find somebody that's got the ceiling taken off of them, then I'm going to have to go back to where it was. This, we got to go back to the blueprint. Find out how this is done. Amen. Look at verse 28. And then Jesus said to them, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I'm he. I do nothing of myself. I, look at this, do nothing of myself. Say it. I do nothing of myself. That's the Lord himself speaking. But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father has not left me alone. Oh, when we get sent like that, my friends, when you get sent like that to the world, the Holy Ghost and the Father and the Lord Jesus is with you. Everything you touch, everywhere you go, God will manifest it. Amen. We are still waiting, by the way, to be sent. Still waiting on the final aspects of the blueprint to be established. Then God's going to start sending again. When he sends from heaven. And he sends with the Holy Ghost, and he sends with power, and he sends with glory. I'm talking about another level of power, the kind that we need, the kind we're crying out for. We'll close with these verses. Let's look if the Lord's message was the eyewitness of the Father. So he said, my doctrine, it comes from God. Right? He said, I've been sent from him. I'm with him. The Holy Ghost is with me. So let's look at the eyewitness of the Father. This is pretty amazing. Begin in John chapter 5. We'll just walk up through John 5, 6, and 8. John chapter 5, verse 36. I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father have given me to finish, the same also works that I do bear witness of me that the Father sent me. And the Father himself which sent me hath borne witness of me. Listen to this. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Do you see that? You haven't heard his voice. You haven't seen him, but I have. I come to bear witness that I've been sent from the Father, and I have seen the Father. You say you know him. I have seen him, and he sent me to speak to you. This was just about around the time that they wanted to take up and kill him, by the way. Chapter 7 and 8, they had enough of his doctrine, and they started talking about killing him. It's pretty profound, actually. God himself is speaking with miracles, signs, and wonders, and they want to kill him for it. Look at verse 19 of John chapter 5. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. Do you see that? Look at the dependency even the Lord had on the Father in his ministry. Go to John chapter 6. Watch, he'll progress this throughout the book of John. He says, you haven't seen, then he'll say, I've seen him. And then he says, I'm one with him. Boy, that's when they really wanted. They were done. They were cooked. When, first of all, you haven't seen him. Then he starts saying, I've seen him. He sent me. And then he says, not only have I seen him, I'm in him, and he's in me. I'm one with the Father. He graduated his message, but they couldn't handle it. John 6, verse 45. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard, hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, look at this, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. See that? First he tells them in John 5, you haven't seen him. John 6 says, I have seen him. I've been sent from him. Look at the eyewitness testimony. Now we don't bear witness, but we bear witness of Christ. He was bearing witness to the Father that he was sent to be the only way, the truth, and life to the Father. And his message to them was, I have seen him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. But his message is, I have seen him. And the Holy Ghost was there. And my doctrine is not my own. You have doctrine, you have the Holy Ghost, and the eyewitness. In the ministry of Christ. Did he say he saw him? Did he say that right there? Okay, go to John chapter 8, verse 37. He says, I know. Now you have to understand, he's pretty upset with them, but they wanted to kill him. So read John 8 in the light that they were wanting to kill him. He says, God's not your father. You say he's your father, but you have another father. It's not God, it's the devil. Tells them straight up, because you seek to kill me, and I'm from him. The one you say you know, I'm from him. That's what his message was. Now watch what he says. John chapter 8, verse 37. He says, I know that you are Abraham's seed. but you seek to kill me. Because my word has no place in you. You say you know God. That's what he's saying. You say you know the Father, but I've been sent from the Father, and I speak the words of the Father. I don't even speak my own words. And yet you cannot receive my testimony of him. Notice what he says in verse 38. I speak that which I have seen with my Father. He wasn't just talking words. He goes, I speak that which I've seen with him. You speak what you've seen with your Father. We got two different fathers going on here. Which father's the truth? He goes, I bear witness of truth. He goes on and tells him in John 14, you know what he says? If you cannot believe what I say to you, then believe the works. They testify of me. Because no man can do these works. That's going to be our message. We testify we have seen him. That's it. That's it. We don't believe your testimony. That's fine. We have another that will testify. You will believe him because he's going to do things that man cannot do. The church, the performance and all that. He's going to do things way beyond that, way beyond what you see in the church. The supernatural is going to smack you right upside the head. It's going to smack your noggin. It's not going to be a little bitty arm grow out and leg grow out and pain in the hip gone. It's going to be raising the dead. It's going to be the paraplegic, those kind, the insane. Being clothed in the right mind, right in front of everybody. It's not going to be the prayer of faith, and God's with you, God bless you, and they're the same. You see that? It's going to be the gospel of demonstration. There's only a few more components left for that government to be established. This gospel is going to be preached in power. It's going to be preached in eyewitness. And the Holy Ghost is going to stand next to it. It's not our job to convince the world. It's our job to bear the testimony. The Holy Ghost is going to convince the world. And he's going to do a real good job at it. Amen? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Our life is not our own. Our doctrine is not our own. It comes from you. We want to be taught. We want to be trained. We want to be equipped. No matter the cost, we want that which comes from you, Lord. Who it puts us with, who it separates us from, we want to be taught of you. Let truth and only truth be established. Grant us the boldness to carry truth. Grant us the boldness to speak truth. Grant us the boldness to walk it through the valley of the shadow of death and to emerge into the life of the Father. It's to bring life to this city, to bring life to this nation again, to remove the veil of darkness that's come over this nation. Let there be a light birth in all the cities. Let their Father be the reestablishment of the eyewitness testimony to all of your apostles in the earth, to all the apostolic communities in the earth. Let the eyewitness be fully. Let the doctrine of the right hand and resurrection be fully established. Let the Holy Ghost come again, manifesting, standing next to that witness, birth what man cannot birth, what man cannot do, Father. Grant us from above. We want that which comes from above, Father. We're bold enough to stand and receive it, and humble enough to recognize it is not of us. that we cannot produce what's coming. Not in our best efforts, Father. Not in our human sufficiency. Not in our glory. Not in the might of man. Not in the presentation of man. But in raw power, in fullness, let the blueprint be complete. We come to you again upon our knees, and we do ask to forgive us, Father. To wash us again and make us whole. As heirs and joint heirs, Father, as a community of believers, we ask for the establishment. We ask for the restoration of these things. We ask for the fullness, the government, the testimony, the corporate eyewitness. So let it be. So let it be.